Om Shanti, and welcome to you all, and welcome to those online for this program, The Spiritual Meaning of the Microcosm and Macrocosm, for which we have the honor and privilege to have Vijayanti Ben with us today. I'm sure that as she's such an international figure, you probably all know her. Maybe by a different name, but this is the name that she was given by Baba. And so Vijayanti Ben will reveal the secrets of the macrocosm and microcosm to us. She was the first surrendered double foreigner sister. And though we know her from all parts of the world, she is officially a Madhuban Nivasi and has been since 2000. Many ask for her notes, the Muli notes, and there is a book, Muli Notes 2021, which is only available in Global Office. As you know, she's a broadcaster, author, and has worked on so many publications in India. And these publications are used in universities. So she really is tireless in offering her churnings, her expertise, and her spirituality to the Yajna. So welcome, Vijayanti Ben.
Om Shanti. So first of all, what is a macrocosm and what is a microcosm? Because not everybody knows it in the same way as everybody else, because so many words nowadays have many interpretations. So usually the macrocosm is like the whole universe. Cosm is like cosmos, so the whole universe. But then, you know, there's the human world, the whole human world, the whole human society with all the countries and everything. That is another kind of microcosm. And then microcosm is the small version of the macrocosm. So the microcosm in most cases would be one individual, right? So each of you is a microcosm, and the collective of everyone is the macrocosm. And I often talk about a midicosm, which there's no real thing like that. I just made it up, but anyway. And I consider that to be Madhuban, you see. And this is actually quite important, because what is Madhuban? It's not just a set of buildings up on Mount Abu with some extensions in Abu Road. And then you could say all the centers, you know, they are an extension of that. But in between the individual BK and the whole universe is the power and influence of Madhuban. Although the BK organization is a temporary thing, the BK teachings is a permanent thing. That means throughout all of time, it is there in some form or another. And Baba tells us that he is giving us the original knowledge of the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita. So this is one of my projects to define all that, so that when you're studying this, you're studying it in context. So I like this idea of microcosm, midicosm, and macrocosm, so that we are doing what we're doing in context. Sometimes people feel that they are doing this in a bubble, but not really. You may feel that sometimes, but it's not really. It is in a big context. And when we're talking about microcosm and macrocosm, we're also talking about drama. And so you remember that Baba had told us that there are three keys, right? Three keys? You got three keys, at least. And these three keys are dots. One dot key is you, the soul. Another dot key is Shri Baba, the Supreme Soul. And another dot key is drama. And he says, these all are dots. So a question I've been asking people lately is, where is the location of the drama? And most people say, well, it's all around. Right? But if you look closely at what Baba is saying, he gives some clues which let us understand that it's actually not what you think. For example, you may have heard in a few Muralis Baba's saying, drama is your creation. Have you heard that? So did you create everything, what's ever all around? Probably not, right? So this is a clue that says that if it is your creation, we have to use syllogisms here, you know, real proper logic, right? If the drama is a dot, and it is your creation, then it's not really what is out there all around. I see. Now, you can also say that, okay, you are a dot, so a dot is a microcosm. Yes? And you could say that drama is the macrocosm of you, the dot microcosm. You could say that. Can you see that? Yes? No? A little bit? Now, the location of the drama is very important to do this properly. And so anytime you experience something or observe something or hear about something or smell something or touch something, where is that registered? It's registered in your mind, right? That means it's located in your mind. Yes or no? Yes. So I think it's very useful to consider that the drama is located inside your soul, not outside on the street or somewhere like that. Because any time you observe anything, like for example, here we are, we're in the meditation hall, you see, which has been nicely painted and everything, very nice since I was last here. And so I'm looking at it from this direction, right? And you're looking at it this direction, more or less, you see. So that means a drama for me in this particular scene is that way, and for you is this way, right? Same scene, different angle. Your eye is like a camera. We have a couple of cameras here, so they've got their perspective, you see. And they will record it, and they'll put it up on internet, and then it will be said that this is what happened, but they don't record anything what happened behind the camera, right? So it didn't happen. Actually, it did happen. But it only happened for those people who saw what's there. Do you see what I'm saying? So we have to think about things less physically, maybe more spiritually. I don't know if this is spiritual or what, but I think so. So when Baba says the drama is your creation, what does he mean by that? Because he gives you all of these informations, like drama is a dot, which is very small, and it can fit in your soul. And whatever you perceive in any of your lifetimes, right, all of this is registered in your soul. And it is, he says, it's predestined, It's identical every 5,000 years. He gives some clues. Why is the drama 5,000 years long and not 6,000 or 50 million or 2 or 3 years? 5,000 years. Why? So he says some clues to that. In recent Muralis, one of the clues is if you didn't know the end, it wouldn't be a drama. Do you remember that statement? A week or two ago in the Murali? Did it went right by you, or you remember it, yeah? So that means the drama is not a physical object. You see, most people think of the drama as a physical object. And they calculate the, you know, the age of the rocks and say, oh, they're older than 5,000 years, therefore Baba doesn't know what he's talking about. Faulty logic. Yes. We need to use proper logic. We have an intellect, which is the aspect of consciousness which can detect whether something is consistent and coherent or not. I see. In your intellect, you have your conscience, which tells you whether it's good or bad. But it also tells you whether it's correct or incorrect, you see. Like 2 plus 2 is generally speaking 4. If somebody tells you it's 3.5, you'll say, no, no, it's 4. You see. So this is what the intellect is for. And so the intellect processes logic. The mind is absolutely non-logical, you must have noticed, right? So the mind is not for the purpose of being logical. The mind is for the purpose of perceiving, feeling, preferences, you know, your taste, all this in your mind. If somebody upsets you, it's in the mind. You see, somebody does something to upset you, then your intellect will kick in and say, therefore, 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 and use a whole bunch of faulty logic. You see what I'm saying? So we're used to operating with an out-of-control mind and faulty logic intellect that doesn't do the work that it should be doing. And Baba is teaching us how to understand the mechanism of consciousness. So these keys are very useful. And we have to also understand that while everything is in your soul, it's also out there as well. You see, and this is a paradox. So when you want to be in Gyan, you have to manage paradox. So when Baba tells you about the drama, he's giving you the first level of paradox, in which he says you have absolute free will and everything is totally predestined, so now figure it out. And you say, ooh, I don't like that. But he says, no, you have to figure it out, because otherwise you can't go forward. And we don't like if we can't go forward. Is that right? You feel stuck. You say, oh, this is boring. Bye-bye. No. This is the deepest, most amazing information ever. I see. And then he's called us to study with him personally, direct, so that means something, right? And he's unlikely to be stupid. Yes? He can't be God and stupid. This is not possible. I see. But if you judge God according to an out-of-control mind and a non-functioning intellect, obviously you will arrive at an invalid conclusion. So this is all about shifting away from that and grasping these things on a level where not only we can understand them for ourselves, but we can also explain them to other people. because we have to be able to do that also. It is said if you can't explain it, it means you didn't understand it. So there's an important part. So you are the microcosm, and in your intellect you have the knowledge, and in your mind you have yoga. Where is your yoga? In your mind or somewhere else? Where do you think is your yoga? Well, he gives us a clue for that too. He says, man, mana, bhav. Man is the mind. You have to tune your mind to his mind. And for that, you have to be in the incorporeal dimension. Yes? You can't do it in the physical dimension. It will not work. Because neither are you physical, nor is he physical, nor is yoga physical. So you have to go to the non-physical dimension. So microcosm and macrocosm is not also limited to the physical dimension. And we are studying spirituality, right? And so it's very subtle. It's not so easy to grasp. And the way that we have been trained in terms of developing our intelligence has been limited to material things. Everything has to be physical, measurable, repeatable in order for it to be classified as real, I see, as a science. And so Sri Baba says, well, it's okay, but you know, there's a whole lot more. Let me tell you about the other parts, you see. So the drama is inside your soul, and every soul has a different drama in it. Right? And we are operating in the material world via these robots called bodies. And we interact with each other. And all the while, there is an overall drama going on. And each of us individually will see it from our own perspective, receive it in our own way, and take it as an individual creation. You see, because how you interpret what you experience through your sense perception is up to you. You know, people use words which classify whether it's good or bad or nice or nasty or useful or useless or whatever. That's a matter of opinion. It's not really factual. You see. And so this is called interpretation. So you will say, you know, here we have these nice lights along the top of the stage here with the tulle around it, which is good for weddings, but here we are in school. It's okay. But, you know, some people will say, yeah, no, this is very angelic, so this is good. And some people say, no, it's too much like a wedding cake, so we don't like it. And somebody else will say, no, it has to be, you know, it helps us to feel more subtle. So, you see, they'll have all kinds of different things. And that, what they have, that will go in their drama. In their drama, they will create it according to what type of soul they are. Your sanskaras, you know. It's very individual. And we all come to Madhuban and we all experience Madhuban, but we all experience it differently. And we all sit in the Murali, we listen to Murali, and we all hear it differently. And whoever reads it differently from the next person in the next center who reads the same Murali differently. Different intonations, different emphasis, different focus, all this. So it's all these many, many little microcosmic dramas going on. And then it's all in this material theater where we can communicate about the drama as a whole, even though we each have our individual take on it and our individual experience of it and our individual creation. This is extraordinary because you can't really say what it is, because it varies from person to person, from moment to moment. So you have to play your predestined role, right? But at the same time, you are free. You can do what you want, when you want, how you want, if you want, or not if you don't want. But the actual time in the drama where you are able to be free lasts for only 1 second. It's called a window of opportunity. It opens for 1 second, closes again. So Baba operates second by second. If you've noticed, he talks about you have a test which is of a second. Or you'll go to Dharmaraj, you'll have a punishment which is of a second. Maybe it feels like 1,000 years, but it's only a second. And when you are about to die, you have 1 second to set yourself. And so 1 second is really quite long. If you do any of this media work, you will know that in video, 1 second could be 24 frames, you see. So you can have 24 different things happening in 1 second, you know, but that will frazzle your brain because it doesn't really work at that speed, but it could, you see. Have you ever experienced that you slow down time, like in an accident or something? Time slows down for you to set yourself. So time is very variable. Of course, the clock goes according to how it goes, but that's just an instrument to keep us on a certain schedule or not, as the case may be. You've heard of New York time and Indian time and other type of nationalities, time is variable because of culture. I see. So what is real? This is a question. What is real? So he says, so you are real. You, the soul, are real with your drama inside you, which you do. There are occasional moments when you are actually free and you act and you get what you want done. But a lot of time you miss the moment, yes? And other times you are in circumstances which are so powerful that there's nothing you can do about it. And at that time you have to just surrender to the circumstances. But there are moments when the drama says, okay, your call, what do you want? You have 1 second, figure it out and do it. I will be cooperative, but you have only 1 second. 1 second passed, okay, now my turn, you see. So our knowledge of reality as we study these things is getting much less rigid than it has been when we study things in a what we call Laukic way, you see. Memory. You remember things? You remember things correctly, incorrectly? You forget things? Or if somebody asks you, okay, you know, you get it. Have you ever been interrogated by police or something? They want to know what happened, what did you do, what did you see, etc., etc. They make you say it many times because if it's, if you're telling the truth, you won't change your story. If you change your story, it means you're lying. I see, that's how they know. But even when you're telling the truth, you may adjust it to suit how you look in the story. Because you don't want to look bad, right? BKs like to look good. Yeah, of course. Because our aim and object is to be perfect, whatever that is, you see. So this big drama, which everybody is sort of interacting with and says, okay, yeah, we came to Madhuban from this day to this day and all these things happened and we experienced them. That is a collective piece of history that we can talk about. And then they ask, okay, what was your experience? Which is like, what was your personal angle on it? So that would be like a microcosm in comparison with the macrocosm of the agreed history of what happened where, you see. And what you had for lunch, you know, everybody had the same thing for lunch, but somebody liked it, somebody didn't like it, somebody liked this better than that. You have your individual take on everything. And so we have to kind of dance between distinguishing between what's known to everybody and agreed upon, and what is your very individual perspective, you see. And why do we have to do that? I think it helps us to understand about the need to take responsibility for what we do. Well, we're concerned about karma philosophy, right? Yes? And that's complicated. Much more complicated than you think. But anyway, there it is. And you say, okay, I want to do pure karma. Is that right? You want to do pure karma. And you say you want to have pure thought. Yes? Yes? No? Yes. You know, it's very difficult to have pure thought all day and all night. Even when you're sleeping, your mind is probably thinking a little bit, dreaming, something like that, you know. And how many times a day do you do something against your own conscience? Good half a dozen, right? How many days have you lived? Quite a few, right? So all of these are ways in which the reality gets distorted and corrupted, and it takes away from your clarity of your relationship with yourself, the microcosm, and the BK world, the midicosm, and then the big world, the microcosm. Because you have a relationship with it, right? You're part of it, and it is part of you. Because it exists inside your soul. But it's also outside, you see. So normally, when you are in the regular world, people don't think of these things as being inside and outside both. But you have heard the expression, it's all in the mind, right? It's a famous expression. And they say it's all in the mind, but then they act as if it's all out there, you see. And so we have to be able to dance between these different cosmoses. So Baba gives us titles. He says very often, you are Swadarshan Chakradhari, right? And so what is that? I see. Somebody says, spinner of the cycle of self-realization. What do you mean by that? Well, we don't really know. Need to know. Somebody says, you know, the actual word Swadarshan Chakradhari means somebody who has taken possession of the ability to see all aspects of the self, which is actually better, I think. Because you have to come to terms with the fact that your totality goes all the way from super good to super bad. You see. And that's how everybody is made, all the way from super good to super bad. And yet your aim and object is to become from super bad to super good. You see. And so there's a paradox right there. And then because of the influence of the way the body conscious authorities of the world want us to think, there's a clash. And so how Baba is showing us how to think and how the world is showing us how to think is in opposition, it's in conflict. So you have to resolve this internal conflict, because the conflict is out there and it's also inside. So how do you know whether something's good or bad? Anyway, it is subjective, but it's also objective. So you have to deal with something subjective, something objective. So you could say that whatever subjective is microcosm, and whatever is objective is macrocosm. I see, but you have to deal with it. Because your subjective understanding and a decision that so-and-so is good, if in the prevailing social attitudes or the prevailing narrative that is all around you, it is said that no is bad, then you're in the minority. So you will, your opinion will be overruled. But it doesn't prove that you're wrong. I see. It's complicated. Am I being too complicated? No, it's okay. So my job is to make you think. I see. And position yourself differently at different moments about different things so that you acquire a certain flexibility. Because this is useful to help you to keep an angle on things which corresponds to your essence. Your essence is, you know, I'm a pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful, blissful being of light, right? That's who you are, yes? And you can be a peaceful soul who's feeling peaceless. That's perfectly logical. Because what you are and how you feel can be in opposition to each other and still carrying on at the same time. That's okay. That's not crazy. But I think what BKs do a lot is evaluate the self all the time, right? You go at the end of your day, you decide whether I was a good BK, a bad BK, or what, you see. And if you decide, oh, you know, I did this and I did that, and conclusion, I'm a bad BK. No, this is faulty logic. Conclusion is, I could adjust myself in here, here, and here, but it doesn't mean I'm a bad BK. You see what I mean? Because when you think about the self something negative, you will cause yourself to have a mental health problem which is not required, right? So it's optional. But the thing that really gets in people's way is faulty logic. Because you mix gyan and agyan. You mix gyan and bhakti. You mix gyan and whatever religion you came out of. You mix gyan and whatever the narrative is that you bought into in the world that you live in, you see. Because these are narratives. There's also a narrative. Narrative means story, you see. So Baba says, the story of us is we are eternal, immortal, indestructible, and each of us has a drama inside which is equally eternal, immortal, and indestructible. And at the same time, you can adjust it. But it's also fixed and predetermined. And you don't know what is next because you might change it. In which case that would have been fixed, you know. So it's not fixed until it's happened. And so what they say about the drama is it is in process of being created and it's already there. So you just have these moments where you can put in what you want. And then you have to ask yourself, exactly to what extent am I free? Everybody likes to be free, am I right? Free, independent, do what you want, when you want, how you want, if you want, not if you don't want. Do you like that? Or is that too hard? Because if you're free, then you are absolutely responsible for the consequences of what you decide to do. And if you're not free, you're also responsible. So it's better to be free than not free, because you pay the same amount, right? So to grasp your freedom, it is essential to assert your identity. You're a pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful, blissful being of light, and you're an actor, and you play all sorts of different roles, which have nothing to do with the fact that you're a pure, powerful, loveful, blissful being of light. Right? Yes? Oh, no. Yes. You see, you do something bad, according to you. You do something bad, you steal something, you hurt somebody, you whatever it is that's bad that you do. You have some kind of addiction and it causes trouble, then you say that's bad, right? And you do it, you see, and then you say, oh, either you could deny it and say, no, I'm not really bad. It's good to be bad. And there's no such thing as bad. And this is just me. And I'm a good soul. And you get your logic all twisted around, right? So that actually doesn't work out. Now, you may be in a circumstance which usually BK say, whatever this circumstance is because of my karma, right? This is a usual BK approach to things. You know, I'm in this bad situation, which means I must have done something bad and I must have deserved it. See? And this comes from your religious background. It does not come from Gyan. Gyan doesn't say that. But most people don't know, and then they put it in and they say, this is Gyan. It's not, it's a bhakti. Yeah, see. If you look at the Bhagavad Gita, it's all about God telling Arjuna, you go kill this guy because he's bad. You see, and all the religions say, oh, thou shalt not kill. You see, how can God tell this person to kill this other person, right? Did you know that? That was the Gita? It is. And so Arjuna says, no, no, I can't do that because that's not moral. And God says, look, I'm God. I know about morality better than you. Go kill this man. He says, no, 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 I can't do that. I refuse. Killing is bad. And plus, he's my relative. I can't kill my relative. That would be really bad karma. And God says, no, no, you have to. He did bad thing. So you have to kill him. You're the king. Kill him. No, 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 I won't do that. And then God says, well, you'd be a disgrace, you know. A king is responsible for maintaining law and order. He says, I don't care. I'm not fighting. I don't want to do it. Go away. He says, no, no, no. Come on. This is your fixed, you know, role. You have to kill this man. He refuses. And they argue for the whole scripture. And eventually God says, okay, tell you what, you destroy the badness that's inside your brother. And he says, well, I'm fine with that, but I can't destroy it without destroying him. So I can't do that. So they go on a little bit further, a little bit further. And eventually he says, look, you can't destroy him anyway because he's an immortal soul, but go kill him. He said, how do I do that? You can't kill an immortal soul. No, you have to. So it goes on. You see, it's much more complicated than the usual religions, which make it very fixed. You could, thou shalt not kill anything except mosquitoes, the enemy, people you don't like, etc. So it's also not quite as clear-cut as they would have people learn when they're learning their religious things in the childhood. And here again you've got this relationship between your macrocosm and your microcosm, because here the macrocosm is the narrative about what's right and wrong. And then when it comes to individual situations, most of morality is in opposition to the voice of conscience. So there you have another problem, you see. Not so easy. And who made up morality? Basically public opinion, you see. And now one of the things that is also known is that there's nothing more unreliable than public opinion, but people rely on it for everything, which means something wrong. No brains or what, you see. So you have these things fighting against each other. The macrocosm and the moral environment will tell you one thing, your conscience will tell you another thing. You know, people say, okay, I want justice. What they really want is revenge, but they call it justice. I see. So we will adjust language to suit our desires. And then we will say, no, this is right, no, that is wrong. But mixing it up with emotions and reactions and desires and all of these things. So it's a lot more complicated than people generally think. So here, let us look at the three levels, the microcosm, the midicosm, and the macrocosm. So what Baba has said is whatever goes on in Madhuban is the most powerful energy there is, and it goes all over the world. Right? Did you know that? It's very powerful, I see. And what happens in Madhuban is sometimes is considered as a pressure cooker. If you stay here a short time, you won't sense it so much. But if you stay here a long time, you'll begin to feel the pressure. Because these contradictions come under pressure, and then you have to resolve them. And if you don't have the tools to resolve them, it becomes too much high pressure. So we need to think about tools to resolve it. Now, out there in the big bad world, there's lots of pressure going on, lots of trouble going on, everything breaking apart, you know. Destruction is going on little by little. And way that BKs manage the pressures of Madhuban is such that you can manage anything. That means you can manage your own microcosmic pressures and the pressures of the world. So this is a very, very powerful phenomenon. A phenomenon of Madhuban where there's the power of God and there's the force of Ravan full on, and we are sandwiched in between. Is that okay? Because you have to manage these things. Because eventually, going back for a moment to the laws of karma, eventually we have to go to neutrality. So we have to become absolutely neutral in the face of our own goodness and badness, which goes totally against what people normally think is morality. So we have to deal with that. Now I'm going to give you some time for some questions. Are you going to come and ask me some questions? Om Shanti.
Perfect, thank you. So yeah, my name is Karen from the UK. So I've been given this wonderful opportunity of asking a few questions. And if we have time, it would be nice to also, you know, if you have questions. Has anybody got any burning questions already? Okay, so yeah, thank you. So thanks, lovely to be here and have this opportunity. And I think over the years I've attended a few things with you as well. And so, yeah, great to have this space together. And so one of the things that, you know, that's kind of struck me as you've been talking is, as BKs, you know, how we can perhaps, you know, muddle things up in our own kind of fuzzy logic and arrive at, you know, how we need to go about things, when actually maybe, you know, life has a different plan to offer us, but we choose to take a different route. And so in these kinds of scenarios, so let's say, you know, you're asked to do something, it's going to take you out of your comfort zone. I mean, there is, you know, there's people out there, you know, BKs out there as well, that you have made the decision that they want to focus more on yoga at this time, you know, in the world, and maybe take a seat back, you know, from being so active in service, perhaps. And so, you know, these kinds of decisions that are being made, how to kind of really truly navigate that for yourself in terms of your own stretch and perhaps possibility?
Well, you have to consult your conscience, you see. And along with Haji, there is also Naji, you see. I think that we are volunteers. Is that right? So volunteers means I will do what I'm asked to do. If I have said in advance, you can ask me to do anything, even if it kills me, I will do it. Right? You could do that. But then you wouldn't last very long. So you have to create boundaries. And you have to make it clear, this is what I will do, this is what I won't do. I did this one time with Daddy Janki. And I said to her, okay, Daddy, this is what I will do, this is what I won't do. Take it or leave it. She said, I'll take it. That means that's a good way to go. But if you don't set limits and boundaries, people will push you until you either die or create a boundary. So you need to know this, right? Because after all, you are volunteers. You are free. And we have gyan, yoga, dharana, service. So Daddy Janki used to say to us, BKs have a tendency to do 95% service and 5% yoga, but it actually should be the other way around. But nobody listened. But I think one should listen, you see. So, you know, I think a lot of people do not really know what yoga is. And they think yoga is sit down in front of a oval form with a light in it and look at it and listen to a meditation commentary or say a few aphorisms. So this is not yoga. This is first steps of learning it, but that's not actually it. So Daddy used to talk about yoga as something that happens in action, okay? She learned this from Brahma Baba. So an example of it is she was in the kitchen cooking a big pot of milk. Now, I don't know if you have experience of cooking big pots of milk, but if you do, you know it takes a good long while for it to get to boiling, and you have to keep on stirring it, otherwise it sticks to the bottom. But you keep your eye on it, because if your eye is off, it will go over. Mm. And that happened to her. And Baba said, no yoga. So yoga, in that sense, means that you are present for what you're doing, you see. And now, you know, a lot of people, they say karma yoga means you clean the floor and stuff like that. That's not karma yoga. That's a nice euphemism. But if you are given an opportunity to do some service, it could be what we call yagya service, physical service in the center or madhaban. It could be talking, it could be some other thing. But you do it in yoga because you're accumulating pure karma by doing that. And this presupposes that all the people involved are on the same page about what has to be done, which is a very rare occurrence. Which means that you need to bring in to bear your power of discernment, your power of judgment, and all the other powers, and say yes or no. And you don't need to give a reason why. Generally speaking, people say no because, or I can't. Actually, you can perfectly well. You don't want to. You have a right to not want to. You see, because otherwise you are denying your existence. So it's always, negotiation. Always.
Can you speak a bit more about that? What you mean by denying your existence?
Well, you know, the relationship between all of us is, as far as I know, we are brothers and sisters, right? Yeah. And it's pretty equal. If we just become souls, we're all brothers, you see. Now, the thing is, people have different agendas. So somebody who is in a position called in charge, they will say, well, this has to be done. You're in front of me, so you do it, you see. So that's that person's agenda. And then you have your agenda. And your agenda is, because you figured it out, you made your boundaries and so on, I have these constraints, my health, my age, my whatever your constraints are. I can do this type of thing, but not that type of thing. And I have a right to say yes to this and no to that. And if somebody doesn't like it, you negotiate. And then you arrive at consensus. You see, then, okay, I will do this. To this extent, and that's what I can do. And they will say, oh, well, you won't go to heaven. I says, it's not between me and you, it's me and Baba.
And your conscience, right?
Well, you listen to your conscience, you see. Because otherwise, if you do something you don't want to do, then it means it's not service. And also, Baba had said, if you are organizing a service event and anybody who is participating is, you know, distressed about their involvement in it, then that's not service, you see. So we have to really think what service is, you know. And if you are doing something and you invite some outside people, they're not much interested in what you're talking about unless it's really interesting. But mostly they're observing how do you interact with each other. And they evaluate the organization on that basis, not on the basis of what you say. You need to remember that. You see, so the relationship and how we work with each other, how we care for each other, how we create opportunities for each other, but we don't have any right to give each other distress or pressure or slave or what. You know, sometimes we all collectively decide to do something 100% impossible, but we are so crazy that we do that. At least we used to be. I don't know how people are now. But then we knew that we would push ourselves to the limit, and we all agreed to do that. And then we found that Baba made everything so easy that we ended up, you know, quite fine, not too exhausted, and everything worked. And we thought, that was impossible. How did that happen? Mm. And then, well, the Baba will say, but you did everything in my remembrance, so obviously I made it happen. You see?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So we try to do that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's a learning curve in itself, right? So if I'm saying no on the basis of my old logic of what I can do, you know, versus letting Baba, you know, come into it.
No, this is about agreement. And if you say, okay, I'm available for service from this time to this time, and that's what your decision is. You have a right to it, you see. And if somebody says, no, there's an emergency situation, can you change your mind? You decide whether or not you change your mind. Yes or no, because it's not the end of the world. Right?
Thank you.
It means don't be a slave.
Yeah.
Volunteer means you do it from your heart, you willingly.
Yeah.
And we're together. If it's somebody up talking down, not so serviceable.
Great. It's nice and clear. Thank you. The other question actually was, you know, if I'm someone that's, you know, new to Baba, it's my first maybe couple of years, you know, in knowledge. I think we've got a few first-timers here as well, right? Yeah. And so, you know, in the Abhyat, Merlius Baba often speaks about, you know, the last go fast, come first.
Yes.
And so really just a question really around that. It'd be great to get your perspective on it. You know, how can that become possible? What would be like the key milestones?
Well, the thing is this. I'm again referring to Dadi Jenghi. She was my teacher, and she was a pretty good teacher. And she used to say, look, you know, it took us like 50 years to figure out stuff. But you, because we figured it all out, you can do what we did, what took us 50 years, you can do in 50 minutes. So, because the gyan came slowly, and you see, like now, you have the reality of a small computer chip containing 10,000 movies, right? Little. And you can think of it. But in those days, they couldn't think of a small dot with 10,000 dramas in it. It was out of range. You see, because technology moves forward for the you know, for the use of BKs to understand things more subtly, you can understand yoga better than they could, because they were not so educated, they were devotional, and they were under what a human mind could think of in those days. But nowadays, you know, if you want to get your tech fixed, you ask a 3-year-old. You know, because they're born with it. So are we going to stretch time?
I know we definitely had another question, so I don't know if you wanted to say anything extra about that, and we could maybe take that.
No problem, but you have some more too.
I do. Are we all okay for time? Yeah, great.
5 minutes.
The other thing that kind of also, I think this, you know, the whole experience of the macrocosm And also in relation to today's Murli, you know, when Baba was speaking about, you know, when you're ill, that's when you really get to see, you know, your stage of happiness. And so that whole kind of response to, you know, the body where and that upheaval. And so there's a couple of questions here, really. One of them is to do with, yeah, how can you, I mean, I suppose one of them really is that question of how is it possible to be so completely beyond the, you know, the experiences that could potentially be read from the body. Is it that I've changed my relationship so much with them? Is it that, you know, my stage of yoga is so powerful I don't even feel it? Because we have quite a lot of, you know, like the daddies, they've all gone through things, haven't they? Mama, you know, they've all gone through,
well,
all
main,
faces.
Main thing is, do you know how to handle extreme pain? Physical, emotional, psychological, financial, social, etc., etc. Because Raj Yoga is not as easy as everybody says it is. So pain is the key, right? Pain. So what happens is every so often something will happen which will give you pain. And it will give you pain, you know, in areas where you're weak, which is several areas. You may be weak psychologically, you may be weak physically, you may be weak financially, whatever it happens to be. And so you will get tested there so that you can build up your resilience, you see. So it's not that you can handle pain on the first go. And on the first go you won't get that much pain, but every so often, it gets more and more, right? And then you may get chronic pain. You know, and some people, they have serious, chronic, bad relationships. And that's very painful. Or you may have physical illness, okay? So then you see Baba says, okay, I give you power of tolerance. And the various different things. But you just have to learn how to actually detach yourself from the body, detach yourself from the situation, have faith in Baba. All of these things are tests to let you be put in such a difficult situation that you have to figure it out. And then you do figure it out. And then you see, you have a threshold of pain and you have to go past it. And then you have to figure out how. Because anyway, pain is in the mind. And usually the problem with pain is you resist it. And then you have to figure out that, well, resisting it is going to increase it, because what is pain? Pain is the greatest teacher ever after Sri Baba. And so what is its message? It has a message for you. And until you surrender to it, it's not in a position to tell you its message. So this is really how it works.
And so
yeah,
how can you get, you know, like you mentioned, surrender to it and hear its message.
Well,
so
you have
how
to
can
let
I get more
go.
How can I get more agile in that process?
It's about letting go. Really surrender, let go, you know. Like if you're on top of a 10-meter diving board and you have to make a dive, can you do that?
No.
But maybe you might have to, you know. So then you have to have faith and jump and tell yourself, it'll be fine. All I have to do is let go. And it's really like that. You see, and then there's also, you know, oh, this person is doing this and blah, 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 all these stories that happened, you know. And it's like, you have to say, oh, you know, this person has no option. They have a predetermined fixed drama to be this way. So have a nice day. Less competition for me in BK competitive system, right? So, what's wrong? You have to, you know, Baba has something called power of transformation. You have to turn it around, make it to your advantage, you know. And you need plenty of humor. Don't take it too seriously.
So how do we increase our power of tolerance?
Well, you just keep walking through fire, you know.
Inviting it.
Yes. Yes, because, you see, when you progress, you progress having passed some exams. And exams, usually people say, oh, you know, this is specially designed to make me fail. But no, it's not. It's specially designed to make you pass, but you have to know that.
So kind of living with that reframe, really.
But you must realize that this is a great cosmic joke, and then it's much better. From Baba looks at us and he says, I'm watching Tom and Jerry, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
Or Mickey Mouse. So we are also watching.
Yeah. Keep it entertaining.
Yes, it's supposed to be entertaining. We pay good money to see people murdering each other, you know. And when it comes for real, you think, oh, no, this is free and terrible. We don't like this. No, that's a double standard.
So I suppose it's, you know, you were talking about the faulty logic. It's
definitely plenty faulty logic.
Yeah. Back to that truth. I have another question.
Are we okay for time?
Are we okay? Yeah, 5 minutes. I know that there was one out there as well. So let's invite that question. Do you want to come up and you can take the mic?
Yes, come up. And in the meantime, you ask your question.
Okay, perfect.
It'll take a while to get
to. So some people have deja vu in their moments. Like it happens like in a second. Is this useful for making a choice? What does having a deja vu say about our mind's perception?
Well, generally speaking, when you have a deja vu, you say, oh, it's a deja vu. And what it's really helpful for is to let you understand that this drama is a repeating thing. But when you want to make a choice, then you have to analyze the things. But sometimes, if you have a deja vu that happens to correspond with what you have to make a choice about, which is pretty rare, then it can help you make a decision. Yeah.
Yep.
Come up. Oh, yeah, you've got a mic there. Yeah, that's okay. Cool. Yeah.
Shanti. Sister Denise, I want to take this opportunity first to thank you. I've been in Gyan for almost 15 years, but this is my first time seeing you.
Oh.
And I took lot of benefit from all your classes, and I listened to a lot of classes and took a lot of benefits, so thank you.
One
of the key things which I remember is you said the journey with Baba is a marathon.
Is it a marathon? Yes.
So pace yourself.
Yes.
That kind of became my motto, and it helped a lot. It's more like a clarification from today's lecture. When you were towards the end, when you were talking about midicosm, and you were saying that BK is, sorry, I'm a little nervous.
It's okay.
That we BKs, we are under a lot of pressure.
Yes.
And then you said we have to come to or bring ourselves to the place where place of neutrality. Is that the spiritual angle of micro and macrocosm?
Well, I don't know, you see. But when you have to be a diamond, right? Because he wants us to be diamonds, yes? So you have to be able to handle an immense heat and pressure. So this is a very good spot for that.
Yeah, but like lecture is about spirituality of micro and macrocosm.
I know, so, but I took it as just microcosm and macrocosm, because I discussed with Shuna before that whether it's the spiritual version or just the thing, it's the same thing. The idea of microcosm and macrocosm is that the individual and the whole collective, they reflect each other.
Yeah.
Spiritually or non-spiritually, it's the same thing. But we have to be spiritual here, so we put the word spirituality in. But otherwise, it's it, you know.
Yeah, but like in our journey with Baba, with the microcosm and macrocosm aspect, doesn't matter what it is. The point is to go through the journey enjoying the drama, because it is meant for entertainment. And I thought, when you bring your mindset to neutrality, that's when you actually enjoy the drama.
Well, yes, yes, one needs to be neutral about everything, because otherwise, you know, there's a little shloka in the Gita which says that Maya takes the soul who's in his boat on the ocean in a big storm and takes him off course. And that's how it is. We are in a boat, which is often in a big storm, and we get taken off course, and then we have to find our way back using three stars. Have you seen there's three up there, the Orion's belt or something? They're pretty good for this. And then we'll find our way back. The thing is, you don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
Because if you take it too seriously, it's too painful. So if you say, it's okay, it doesn't matter, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, get going again, don't give up. That's what I think is a good thing, don't give up.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Thank
and,
you so much.
And you know, when people are instruments for you to get serious heat and pressure, think that this is Baba strengthening you. Nothing to do with that person. They're just instrument. But you're the one who's experiencing the drama, and you have to make some choices about how you interpret it. To your advantage. Always must interpret to your advantage. And don't ask, why is it like this? Because the answer is always because it's useful for you. There's no other answer. Then you have to find out, how is it useful for me? And you find it out. Because, you know, people are too fluffy and too weak and too break down too easily and da-da-da. And Baba says, hey, you know, you've got to get through destruction, you've got to get everybody else through destruction. So you have to be hardened. Just a little bit. So I'm sure that we better stop.
Yeah, so yeah, I want to thank you very much on behalf, you know, of everyone and everyone online with us, yeah, for joining us today. Thank you.